God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Computer's being fun. We're going to do I Am a Church Member. We did I Value last week, but the snow has frozen our computer, maybe. Do we have that sermon bumper? Do we have that? Maybe, possibly, hopefully. While we're finding our awesome sermon bumper, we call it. Would you take your Bibles? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 12. How many of you were a part of a life group this morning and started with our starting point? Raise your hand proudly. Very good. All right. Good, good, good. Now, I want to ask you, if you were not part of one, to raise your hand. That's good. But we want you to be a part of a life group. And I'm going to tell you why. We're on a journey of discovering this series, I Am a Church Member, and the importance of that. Whenever you get that bumper, just let me know, because I do want to use it. We worked hard on it, didn't we, Chris? Worked hard. But anyway, while we're getting ready for that, we want you to be a part of Starting Point. It is our new members class, if you want to call it that. It is a starting point for every person who's going to become a part of our church family. And so we want to kind of grandfather everybody in to be a part of that. And so you already remember, most of you already are that are here this morning. We want you to go through the starting point class as well. And eventually, down the line, our hopes are in the next couple of months that we will require anybody to come join our church will have to first take this class. And it talks about who we are, where we were founded, what our vision is, where we're headed, what does it mean to be a part of our church family, what does that look like, what does the Lord's Supper mean, baptism, tithing, all those kinds of things, outlive your life. We want to talk about all those elements, and so we want to go ahead and get everybody on the ground floor to be a part of that. We've offered it twice so far. We've had about 12 or 14 people that have gone through it that are new members or prospective members can go through it either way, and they can be a part of that. But we want to take everybody through that, so if you are not in one this morning, you can jump in one next week. We want every person that is part of our church family to be a part of a life group. You say, I don't know about one. I don't know how to be a part of one. I haven't been in one for 20 years. Let me encourage you, be a part of a life group. You can be known. Somebody knows you. They can pray with you. They can share life together. We can share the word of God together. So please be a part. It's a vital part of this series is to be a part of a life group. So we got it? All right. Now we're on from I Value to I Am a Church Member.
Surrounded by so many friends, acquaintances, faces in the crowd, so many different people, different in so many ways, yet one body with one hope. This is more than ritual, more than social, more than spiritual obligation. So how do I fit in? How do I bring my uniqueness to this unity? What's required of me is we've been called to serve, to care, to pray, to learn, and to grow together.
Talked about the last several months or even the last year, Christianity as a whole is on a decline in our nation. It's not a great surprise to us. Something that we are shocked about. We read about it often in the newspaper. We see different surveys that come out. Not only that, we see church membership as a whole is declining in our own Southern Baptist Convention. At one point, we were over 16 million members. We're now below that point. And you know the typical statistics. Most folks agree that most church roles are inflated at a times three. And so you got at least 30% of those that are on your role that are no more a member than I am a McDonald's hamburger today. You know, their name is on a roll, and that is all that they are. And we see, so if you do that 30% of 15.8, 0.9 million, our Southern Baptist Convention, you're talking millions of people that say they're a member of a Southern Baptist church, but in reality, they really are not a member. They simply have their name on a piece of paper or on a computer, and it means nothing more than that. And I think there are a lot of reasons why church membership is on a decline. There's lots of things we can identify. And I think one of the most important things we can talk about, there's a gross misunderstanding of what it means to be a church member. Now, on the surface, we say I'm a member of a church. That sounds to some of us rather elementary, rather basic, it would seem. But I would say this, that maybe that's not the case. Or if it is the case, then perhaps our culture has blurred those lines and made it really not understanding the distinction of what it means to be a member of a church. In a recent study, they studied some churches from 2004 to 2010. So this is a fairly recent survey. They did the survey, and in that survey they found across the board that 9 out of 10 churches were growing at a slower pace than their communities. 9 out of 10. So folks, we are in that bracket. Only recently are we in that bracket that 1 out of 10 churches are growing at the same pace as their community. We know that most churches are plateaued, meaning they are flat or they are declining. We're fortunate, we're blessed to be a part of a church that is not in that number. I don't feel that God has called me to pastor a church that is plateaued or declining. I'm not wired that way. I struggle when we have a Sunday, we go below 250. I get depressed and have to go home and cry a while and get over it. I'm wanting us to have 300. I'm wanting us to move forward. That means we're touching more lives for the sake of the gospel. We're growing. Healthy things grow. But not only do we see this in the idea of the church, but we also see this generationally. Now, how many of you will be bold enough to say, I was born somewhere before 1946. That's me, but born before 1946. Would you raise your hand in our church? Born before 1946. I'm not going to ask you how old you are. Born before 1946. All right, we got about 15 people. All right, in your generation, it's been often called, and it's in most places, you are called the builder generation. Tom Brokaw called it the greatest generation of American history. Now, it's an amazing generation. Let me tell you about this generation. 2/3 of that generation identifies themselves as believers, as Christians. You then take this next generation, 1980 to the year 2000. It is called the millennial generation. They are larger than the baby boomer generation. We thought we would not see that again, but we saw it from 1980 to the year 2000. We are called the millennial generation. Now, how many of you were born between the years, think in your brain a minute, you were born in between 1980 and the year 2000? Raise your hand for me. Look around. Okay, we're probably talking at least, just statistically guessing, 35% of our congregation is born between those years. Now listen to this shocking statistic. From 1946 to 1980, we're talking a period of 34 years, if my math is correct. Okay? If that is the case, from 34 years in two generations, maybe three, depending on how you use different statistics, your generation, 1980 to the year 2000, 15% claim to be Christians. Now, how many of you were born before the year 2000? Raise your hand. That's good. How many of you were born the year after 2000? Raise your hand. After the year 2000. Okay, look at all the hands in our room, all the room. This is all kiddos. This is everybody to be like 13 and under, okay? I want you to look at me. Everybody look at me now. I want you, you got the numbers here. We went from 2/3, 73%, whatever the 2/3 number would be. I'm not math. I can do an aerial 67. Very good. This is impressive. I'm learning how to find these numbers. It's an aerial, what is it called, William? An aerial model. I'm learning how to do this math. Glory be proud of me. I'm learning. We tried to do problems in the car yesterday, and I carried two. And he's like, Dad, we don't do that. I'm like, I know. I've got to learn. So I'm learning. So my aerial model would tell me 66.6%, right? That's really the real number. So if I round it up, which I always do, and church numbers, we always round up, always, 67%, all right? So 67% in less than 34 years, 2 to 3 generations, we're down to 15%. God help us to know what the research will show in 10 years on whatever this generation will be named that comes post 2000. What will that be? I would dare say it will be under 10% will be churched in 20 years if we continue on the decline of where we are. Now, as a pastor, I want to tell you something. That is bothersome. That is burdensome. Sorry, I went past the blue line, didn't I? I just realized that. Sorry, Jake. They've drawn me a blue line I can't go past. Isn't that terrible? I feel like a caged animal. We bought a new camera so that the quality is better. If you've ever seen it online, you want to tell somebody they can watch it online. Or if you miss a Sunday, we've got the audio is much better. It's tied directly into the sound system, so it sounds better. And blue line, there we go. It got moved over, the speakers are on it. Anyway, so we want to talk about and think about and pray through this idea of what it means to be a church member. What does that look like? And so I would dare say maybe it's basic and elementary, but I would offer you maybe perhaps it's not. Now, there are a lot of things we can blame on it. We can blame it on our culture is in a decline, godless politics, moral decline. People would say, well, there's a lot of hypocritical church members, uncaring staff members, and on we can go. But I want to challenge us this morning to take a deep look inside in the mirror and realize that much of the decline in the church today is because we have lost a true focus and sight of what a true biblical understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. So let me say clearly up front, church membership matters. Thank you, choir. Amen. I heard it back there. Church membership matters, church. You being a part and a member of this church is not putting your name in our ACS computer and you filling out a card. That is not what church membership means. I pray we come away from this series with either a renewed sense or a brand new sense of what it means to be a part of a church, and specifically the life of Petal First Baptist Church. And the second desire of this series would be this, is that when we become more aware of what it means to be a church member, we become healthier. We become a healthier church member. And as a result, the more healthier our church members are, guess what? The more healthy our church becomes. And the more healthy and solid and stable and steady our church becomes, and our offerings are steady, and we're growing. Listen, then the more we can do, the more impact we can have in our community. An unhealthy church cannot have an impact in our community. Look back a few years ago. Our church was not healthy. I think most, and that's not a slam. It's just simply a fact. We were not healthy. But God has been gracious and kind and loving and merciful to bring us to a point we are getting healthy. We are healthier than we were 2 years ago. Wouldn't you agree? Absolutely. But we've got a ways still to go. We've still got at least, I know, we identified either 135 people or 135 families. Which was it, Ms. D? Do you remember? Was it people or families we identified on that list? Families. Get this now. We have 600 members plus, something like that now, I think. Somewhere around that number, biblically or pastorally speaking. So we got 135 families, not people, that are on our rolls that never darken the door of this church. And I'm not talking about CEO Christians, okay? What is that? Christmas and Easter only, okay? We're not talking about those kind, all right? We're talking never darken the door. What has happened? We've lost what it means to be a church member. So I want us to start this morning by asking ourselves this question. We're going to talk about six different things of what it means to be a church member, to say, I am a church member. Now, when we say that statement, that could sound prideful. I am a church member. I am. Right? That's not what I mean by that statement. There is no sense of pride except to say that I am grateful and I'm humbled and I'm honored that I get to be a member of the bride of Christ, the church of the living God. And I'm not ashamed to be a member of Petal First Baptist. I'm not ashamed to be a member of the body of Christ. And it's not something that I take for granted. It is not something that I throw around and my weight around because I am a member. It is simply a fact that it is a gracious privilege to be a part of Petal First Baptist Church. Now, we want to talk about this first one this morning. What does it mean to be a functioning church member? In other words, what is a church functioning member? Well, to me, what is one who fulfills the God-given role that you are placed there for, found in God's Word. Questions like, how do I support the church? What do I do for the church? What does the church do for me? How do I know where my place is in the church? Great news, the Corinthians were having this problem. It's not a new problem what it means to be a church member. They were trying to figure it out too. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see Paul talk about the problem or the understanding of what it meant to be a functioning church member. So let's stand in honor of reading God's word. Let's read this together and dive into the idea of a functioning church member. Verse number 12 says this, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Notice verse 18, key verse. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. Or unseemly members come to have a more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members which lacked, that there should be no divisions in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Father, would you speak power into the words that I'm about to speak? Lord, may the body of Christ here at Petal First Baptist know these are not my words. Lord, I don't want to speak my opinions. I don't want to speak what I think. I pray it would be said, thus says the word of God. Father, help us to rediscover, or maybe discover for the first time, what it really means to be a member of a church. Father, I pray for our students. I pray they would really tune in this morning and really understand, because so many of them really don't get it. They get to college and they think membership is just something their parents told them they had to do, and they forget that being a member has a responsibility and a privilege. So Lord, help each of us understand what the Word of God speaks to us here and how important each person is in this building. Lord, there is not one person that is not important in this building. Father, may we be open to the Spirit of God, you would speak to us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hopefully some of you got an outline. We're a little late getting it out to you this morning. If you didn't get one, we'll have it online. I'm sure there'll be some out at the table on the way out the door. But if you have it, we'll have it on the screen as well. I want to talk about this idea. Paul uses an incredible analogy here to help us understand what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And he uses our human body. We all get that. We all have hands and ears and eyes and noses. We have feet, we have hands, right? We all have different parts of the body. Now, if you've ever found yourself at a time where you didn't have the use of a part of your body, I'll never forget when my wife was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, when I began to do things that required me to use my wrist. I never even thought about using my wrist for anything whatsoever. But when I went to open a can or I went to open something, all of a sudden I realized that, wow, that hurts. If I didn't have something that would hurt there, that would hurt. Or maybe some of you hurt your thumb before and you thought, oh, my thumb, what do you need your thumb for? Really? Try not to have your thumb for a while. Break your thumb and try to write. Try to put your socks on. Some of you have maybe broke a leg or broken an arm, and you see and you understand. All of a sudden you go, hey, Mr. Foot was important after all. Right? Some of you have been born, and some maybe you couldn't hear well or you can't see. And so you get and understand the importance of what the body is about and how it's each part is needed, necessary. So let me just say right off the bat, just right out of the gate, I want you to just look around to your neighbor and say to them, you are a part of the body. Would you do that for me? Just say, you're a part of the body. Right? Every person in the room, right? Now, some of us would say, well, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Listen, I pray when you walk out of this door this morning, and I want every person to eyeball me right here, if you will. Every person in this room, even if you're not a member, you are a part, you are necessary, you are needed, and Satan would tell you otherwise. And you might feel that you're not, but I want to tell you what God says to you this morning. For some of you, this is all you need to hear. That's all you need to hear. You are of value. And you are necessary to the body of Christ. And when you're not here, then we're missing something. I hope that when I'm not here that you sort of kind of miss me, I hope. Now, when Mitch comes, y'all don't miss me, I know, because he's an incredible communicator. But I hope I'm missed. I hope when you realize when you're not here, you are missed. Membership. We hear the word membership, we oftentimes think of a membership in the Chamber of Commerce. Or the most easy thing I can think of, membership, is maybe you've been a part of a country club. I don't know if you've ever been a part of one. I was in Baton Rouge. I was young and single and had money back then, a little bit of it. And so there was this little country club called Fairwood Country Club. It was right close to the church, and the pastor was a member. It was a very small course. It wasn't like a big, like the country club of Baton Rouge or anything. It was just like a really small course. And I played golf that time, again, back when I was single and had money. And I played golf a couple times a month. And so I would play golf. And so it got to the point where, like, I was paying so much money. I was like, why don't I just go ahead and join? They had a junior membership, right? And so you could join for the small fee. And then, but boy, membership had its privileges. I mean, it was nice. I mean, you got to use, like, the facilities. You got to eat at the restaurant they had, you know. Of course, they didn't tell you until after the fact, you know, if you don't eat, you have to pay, you know, $50 a month if you don't eat. So you better eat. So you had to go eat. That was great. But people come out and get your clubs and clean your clubs. I mean, the whole idea of being a member is, hey, you serve me. I show up, and I pay my dues, and you do all for me, and I just sit and relax and enjoy. I kind of liked it, I'll be honest. I felt a little bit rich, a little snooty. I'm like, I'm somebody. The guy will get my club and say, well, hello, Mr. Eubank. I'm like, well, hi. I like this. It's kind of cool. I never felt this way before. Of course, that club is now closed and defunct, but that was great then. It was great then. I stayed a member for 8 or 9, 10 months. Decided that was I didn't even spend my money that way, so I stopped. But at the time, it was really cool. Now, here's the problem. What's happened is, in our world, is the world has stolen the word member, in my opinion. So much so that some churches are having to think about, and Chris and I had this conversation, a good friend of ours is a pastor in a church, they don't even call them members anymore, they call them partners, which I like that, it's really cool. But I've been thinking about this idea of the word member occurs here in the Bible. And what that tells me is this, is the world has stolen what the word member really means. So in my years, I've never heard these things here. Never. But in my years past, 20 years plus past, of being in church staff and hearing, here's things I hear. Well, this is my church. I'm a member, so we're going to do it this way. I give my money to this church, and you're going to play the music that I want to play. Or I've heard, I've been a member for 30 years. I've earned the right to get what I want. One time I was at a church, they told me, they said, listen, you better not baptize that person, much less let them join, or you'll face the consequences. I'm a member, I've been here longer, my grandparents remember this church, and they would have never allowed that to happen. All of a sudden we go, whoa. We read the Word of God, and we don't find those kind of statements in the Word of God about what it means to be a member of a church. Because what happens is, we think the church is here for us. And let me give you a fresh word from the Word of God. Are you ready for it? Let me just burst your bubble this morning and burst mine too. The church is not here for you. You are here to serve the church. It's true. And we get confused, and we do, now we have this church shopping thing, and so churches are forced, it's like the scramble to make our churches seem so attractive. Because people are going to come move into town and come and check our church out and see what they have to offer my family. Can I bring a fresh word? And if you're looking around a church, I hope this blesses you and doesn't offend you. And if it does, I'm sorry. I don't mean for it to. But I want people who come in this church and not looking and saying, what can the church do for me? But thinking this question, what can I do for the church at Petal First Baptist? That's a different mentality, isn't it? But that's where we've gotten. We've got into the serve me mentality. The McDonald's Happy Meal, serve me, do it quickly, get my order right, and I'm in and I'm out. And that's where church has become. It's in, it's out, serve me. I want to do my time, if you will, some people think, and get in and get out. But that's never what God intended. What does it mean to be a functioning church member? Well, he tells us a couple things here. Number one, he tells us in verse 12 to 14, membership means this statement, that we are necessary parts of the whole. A functioning church member understands these principles, that a membership means this, we are all necessary parts of the whole, we're one body. Now, some reject the idea of membership altogether. There's a church in Alabama that I was part of. They didn't even have members. You didn't join. You just attended. And then I remember talking to the pastor saying, where do you find that in Scripture? That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that I'm a part of the body of Christ. The literal body, Christ himself, I'm part of his body, but I'm part physically here, tangibly speaking, of the body of Christ, the church. Paul clearly tells us here that membership is biblical. Every part is necessary, but no other part is more important than the other one. Every part is a part of the whole. So understand that membership means we're all necessary, a part of the large church, of universal, if you will, but also here in the church in our local context. For we, even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though there are many, they're all one body. So there's a lot of us in the room. There's probably 228. How's that for a gift? Pretty good? Less or more? Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to be sad today, so y'all messed me up. Terrible, terrible. 218, all right? It's 218 of you here, okay? And so, think about this for a minute. All of you are important. Sometimes we come in the building and think, nobody cares about me, nobody's paying attention to me, nobody knows where my problems are. I love when I go to the hospital. I went to the hospital yesterday to visit Tanya Collins. She's been really sick this week in the hospital. And I can tell them, I just want you to know, be reminded, Tanya, people are praying for you. People care for you. They'll notice you're not here. Ronnie and Phyllis Hinserling, some of you have been asking about them and the house we're going to build. Ronnie is not doing well. They've had to call in hospice. It's kind of turned not the direction we had hoped and prayed. But able to call Miss Phyllis and say, I just want to tell you, Miss Phyllis, though y'all been disconnected a long time, we feel like we've reconnected with you and your church family is praying for you. We care about you. But why? Because they're all part of the whole. Second, notice this. Membership means that each member is equally important. Now, this is vital. We're kind of in an age and generation where we've raised, I think, my personal opinion, the role of pastor a little too high. Because I want you to know the Bible says that you and I, though I'm the pastor and you're a member, we're equal. Did you know that? We're equal. Now, right this minute, I'm up on a platform, but I wish I could come down, but I can't because I can't cross the blue line. But if I would come down there on the floor with you, I would tell you that you and I are on equal footing. Guess what? At the foot of the cross, guess what the ground is? Level. There is no distinction of pastor or layperson. There is no distinction of rich or poor, black or white, Asian or Hispanic. There is all level at the foot of the cross. And every person is vitally important. Every person. Now, in this church in Corinth, obviously they were struggling because some of them were thinking, well, I'm not important. Because we think those are the people that are more out front, those that are more public, those that get recognized, well, those are the important people in our church. But if all I do is if I clean up behind somebody, if I change a diaper, if I serve behind the scenes and clean up after Wednesday night supper, nobody notices, nobody says, oh, thank you, job well done, then I'm not important. And see, the problem is then we bind to what the world says is important. Because the world says what's important if it's somebody who recognizes you. But Jesus' math is completely different than that. In fact, he says what you do in secret, the Lord will reward you for. What nobody else knows about, that nobody else gets credit for it, but God, you do it in private. The only person that knows it is the one you did it for. And maybe they don't even know it. We find that every member, whether out front, a pastor, if you want to call it that, or somebody that is seemingly in this grand scheme of what the world would say would be insignificant, but God says the weaker members are just as important, if not more important. I say weaker, meaning those that would seemingly be insignificant. And we have to be very careful here, because sometimes, and I've been there before, maybe you have too, when we get ourselves in those roles, we kind of get a pity party. Oh, nobody cares if I do anything. Nobody notices that I'm doing anything. Preacher, I told me one time, thank you, and told me he did a good job. We get there. I've been there before. I want somebody to notice we all are wired, and we can act like we don't, but all of us love for somebody to say, good job. Thank you for serving. Don't we all like that? And if you don't, if you're saying you don't, then you're lying. Isn't that good to know today? You're a liar, a big fat liar, because we all like for people to say to us, thank you, job well done. God wired us that way so that we would receive it from Him. That's why He wired us that way. But it's nothing wrong with receiving it from one another. But the problem comes when that's when we deem what is important by how recognized we are. Thirdly, membership, we understand that God places in the body as He chooses. Well, this is big theology here. This is big. I just want to say this for what it's worth. This is what God's Word says. And I know some of you are going to go, holy moly, I can't believe you just said that. But let me just tell you straight up. God says in His Word, let me read verse 18 again, just so you make sure you hear me not say my words. Verse 18. Matter of fact, can you pop back up on the screen just so they can see I'm really legit if you don't have your Bibles with you. Let me just read off the screen. But now, God, if you got a Bible, underline this verse. This is a big, big, big verse right here. Big verse to me. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as we desired. You got to wait? Is that what it says? No. What does it say? Just as He desired. Not as the pastor desired, not as the staff desired, not as whoever desired, as God desired. Now, I know this isn't true here, but in Alabama, in our county, there were 57 Southern Baptist churches. 57 in a county of 40,000 people. I've told you this before, I think, in my church, as the crow flew, there were churches surrounding us every 2 miles around us. Now, some of them were church plants. Others of those were family churches, and others of those were somebody got mad at Aunt Susie and Pawpaw and somebody else, and we're going to form our own church. We also know in Southern Baptist Convention we have inflated numbers because people jump from one church to the other. Now, some of you, you've moved here since I've been here, or maybe before I got here. And God called you here. So let me be careful when I say this statement. I want to be very clear what I say here. One of my very core convictions is when somebody is visiting from another church, I will never visit your home. Listen to me. And when you come and join, you're going to hear me ask this question. Did God call you here, or are you certain this is where God wants you to be? Because I've had people visit, maybe some of you have been that way, and maybe you're a member of another church in town. If you're new in town, a little bit different, but if you have another church in town, listen, if God's called you here, we want you here. But if God has not called you here, and you're running from something or something didn't go the way you liked, can I just give you a word of encouragement? When you come here, there'll be something you don't like here too. It's just human nature. Now, you might like the preacher a little bit more, like the music a little bit more, like your Sunday school class a little bit more, your kids get more. Listen, all those things are very valid. I'm not invalidating this. Here's what I just want you to understand, is that God is the one who places you in the body of Christ where He desires, so that, not that you can be happy, not that you can be filled, not that you can be content. Now, all that will happen, but He places you in the body as He desires so that you can have the maximum impact on the church and those in the church and outside the church, so the church can fulfill her role to be salt and light to a lost and dying world. There it is. Now, some of you, I know you're visiting, some of you have been praying about joining. I pray. I'm not trying to offend you in any way. But I want you to know, if God's called you here, then let me just give you a fresh word. Then join. If God's called you to do it, then what are you waiting on? If God's called you, then get up off your blessed assurance and join today. If not, pray about it. Ask God to speak to you and understand that God will place you in the body. Listen, and if He's bringing you here, He has a reason to bring you here. And it is not to come and sit and listen. Now, there's part of this, the process is to sit and listen and soak in what the Word of God says, but it's to get out and serve. To connect with others, to grow in your faith and serve the body of Christ. God has been doing that. I mean, there's no doubt God has been bringing key strategic people. God has moved some of you here. Some of you are wondering, I don't know why God moved me here. I'll tell you why God moved you here. God is working on this beautiful, sovereign plan. It just amazes me. I've even seen it the last couple of weeks. I'm reminded. I'm reminded that one of the things when we very first moved here, I was at Baylor University, and I was a freshman, and this girl was a senior. She was from Laurel, Mississippi. Her name was Carrie Rogers. Good friends. We came, as a matter of fact, in 1991, we sang at First Baptist Laurel. Drove down this road, probably, maybe even came through Petal, for all I know. I don't know. We were on the way to South Alabama somewhere, so it's possible. Little did I know that 20 plus years later, I'd moved to Hattiesburg, Petal area, and her husband, who I'd met a couple times, would end up being a pediatrician in town. When we found that out, I'm like, we just smile. I'm like, wow, look what God does. God places you in the body as He desired. Let me move on. Our time is running short. Membership means we are different, but we still work together. Isn't this good? Look around the room. We're not all the same. Have you noticed that? Thank God we're all not like me. That's not funny. Why that? My wife reminds me often, I'm in the NICU. Could you please be a little quieter? I'm not loud. You have no idea how loud you are. If we were all loud like me, nobody would ever have a chance to talk. There'd be no counselors. There'd be no people to do other jobs because we'd be all too busy talking and being too loud. And quiet people wouldn't really like to come to church here because there's all a bunch of loud people. What am I saying? I love when God brings together two things. A diverse church. Let me say this clearly. I was talking to Lindell this morning. My commitment, listen to me carefully, our 1946 and before, all right, and others of you. My commitment is to pastor a multi-generational church from the birth to the grave. I believe that is a healthy, functioning church. And if we get a church where all we have is a bunch of 20s and 30s, we're in deep trouble. Why is that, preacher? Because we won't have any money. Ouch, that stings, doesn't it? If all we have is senior adults, we're in trouble. We'll have lots of money, but nobody to do anything with it. It's not what God designed. God designed, I believe, biblically, a church that includes all generations to reach all generations. By the way, 1946 and before, there is another 23 or 4%, however you round it up, of those in that generation that don't know Jesus. But not only that, we're all different. We have different gifts and talents and abilities. We have different personalities. And what the beauty of that is that we create this beautiful, colorful picture. However, that beautiful, colorful picture can cause problems. I'll give you an example. You sit in a meeting with a group of 9 or 10, 11 people. We have a vision team. I want you to know, when I prayed about our vision team, we put together 11 people who are vastly different. Different ages. Different personalities. Some are what we call immediately, preacher, let his charge hell with a squirt gun wide open. We put some of those people in there. Then we have some people who say, I don't think we ought to ever charge hell, period. Ever. Why? Because we want to have balance. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. And that can cause division if we don't work at it. And we'll talk about next week what it means to be a unifying church member. So I won't touch on this, but just very, very briefly. God made us all different. It provides flavor. It provides spice. It provides life. And it can provide a challenge if we're not careful. Notice these last two quickly. Membership means we are independent, we are not independent, but interdependent. Now our world tells us you need to be independent. Teenagers, what are your mom and dad telling you all the time? You got to learn to be what? Responsible, which means to be independent. Now, it's this great battle, moms and dads. We want them to depend on us. We were taught to depend on us. We want them to depend on themselves to get older. Get out of my house, right? Now we have this generation that's come back home to live at the house for another 10 years. Praise God. Moms and dads. Boys, ain't going to happen, all right? But anyway, so we have this idea. Be independent. Take care of it yourself. Do something for yourself. Quit relying on me, right? And our world says be independent. Be an independent thinker. Don't ever depend on somebody else to do what needs to be done. And let me just give you a fresh word. That is very true in many parts of our lives. When it comes to the church, there can be nothing further from the truth. The Bible says we are to depend on one another. Now, let me be the first to confess. Okay? Can I come to the confessional booth here? Okay? Can I do that? Good. None of you are completely not awake. All right, good. Can I come to the confessional booth? The answer would be yes, preacher, sure. All right, so here it is. I don't like to have to depend on anybody for anything. There it is for free. There I said it. Well, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I remember I was in Baton Rouge before I got married, and I bought a new house, and Rebecca and I were talking about getting married. I bought a new house. Now, how dumb is this? Listen how dumb this is. I had a friend of mine look at me, and he was gracious and kind to me, and he said, you know, preacher, you're really dumb. I said, why? He said, I rented a U-Haul. I was going to move the house myself. I didn't ask a single person to help me. Now, that is really dumb, isn't it? I mean, really? I might be able to move the first few things, but I mean, really? Can I really move the refrigerator, the washer, the dryer, all those things all by myself? Oh, I did good for a while, but I pooped out after a while. He said, why didn't you ask for help? Because I have a pride problem. I do. I don't want to inconvenience anybody. I don't want anybody to put somebody out. I don't have to, I'm being honest with you now, I don't have to owe anybody anything. I can't stand owing anybody money for anything. It kills me. I owe the bank for my house. I don't owe them. They own it. I just own a little part of it. I think I own my front yard now, maybe. And I'm about to pay off my last card. All I owe is that house. That's it. That's why I like it. I don't want to owe anybody anything. It's my nature. And that's the way a lot of us are wired that way. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, listen to me, that we need each other. And I've learned, and I finally had a friend look at me. His name was Roy Martin, good friend of mine, love him to death. He's one of my greatest friends. And he looked at me, he said this statement. He said, I'm just going to tell you something, Brad. He said, I love you enough to tell you this. He said, you are robbing people of the opportunity to use their giftedness to bless your life because you're too stinking prideful. And I said, well, thank you very much. It was true. I learned it. I've learned over the last 10 years in particular. But boy, in the last 3 to 4 to 5 years, I've really learned it. When my dad was sick, his church, they cut my mom and dad's grass for a year. Every Saturday, 8 or 9 men showed up, mowed their grass. Never took a dime, never needed a thank you. They did it. Why? Because they were dependent on their church family. You have ministered to this preacher. We are dependent upon you. Many of you say, hey, I'll help you. We'll volunteer. We're in kind of a dependent mode in our life. God bless some of you. I was doing a little wrestling over here to start with, and two of you said, hey, can I help you? You need help while they're over here when Rebecca gets here? I need you. Now, can I be honest? Oh, I don't like it. Because it means I need you. I can't do it myself. But that's what the body of Christ is. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. So listen, when you have a point of need in your life, let us minister to you because that's our giftedness. We can bless you. And I give you permission to tell me the same thing. So some of you are blessing us with meals. Hopefully somebody's going to bless us with a membership to the Y to get off all the desserts y'all are bringing. And Dee said, well, we'll do it for these. Like, let's just do it February. That'll be fine. She said, Brad, there's so many people who want to do something for you. You've got to go further than that. I'm like, yeah, but I just... I struggle with that. Maybe you struggle with that. Listen, if you don't need your church family, then why do you have a church family? True? Ouch, that stings, doesn't it? All right, y'all are starting to slow down. Listen, let me hurry up. Notice the last one. Membership means everything we do and say is based on a biblical foundation of love. And I love this. This is a good word. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us this statement. Now, we often use 1 Corinthians 13 when? When do we always hear it quoted? Weddings, right? Weddings. Now, I'm going to have to trounce on myself here because this is terrible. That is a terrible use of this scripture passage. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've used it, and I'm just going to have to confess I've used it in the wrong context. You know why that is? Because this was not written and said, use in weddings. It didn't say, husbands and wives love each other this way. You know what the context of the scripture is? It is sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14. In chapter 12, he's talking to the Corinthian church about the body of Christ and how all of them are important. Nobody's more important than the other, and you need each other. And everybody's part of the body. And then in verse 13, he goes right into that. He says, listen, how do you love in your church? So let me ask you a question, dear church family. Most of us know these words. Let's skip on to verse 4. Do these describe Petal First Baptist and the membership of our church and how we relate to one another? Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It does not provoke. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Does that describe your love for the people in this room? If it doesn't, then we need to understand more about what it means to be a member of Petal First Baptist Church, because that's what God described church membership. Isn't this a blessing to realize? I just feel better getting it all out. That's what a church is about. And listen, that's what's attractive to a lost person. Why would they want to come into a church, be a part of something, and they're lost, they don't know Christ, and come into one where nobody takes care of anybody, nobody cares about anybody but themselves? Sign me up. No, they come into this building, and listen, can I brag on you? Folks, they tell me what, because I ask them, first-time visitors, I'll ask them, how did we do? Did we greet you in the parking lot? Did you know where the bathrooms were? How did we take care of your preschoolers? I'm asking them all the time. Y'all are on trial every Sunday. That's supposed to be funny. Goodness gracious. Come on, people. Why? Because I want them to know. I want to know what they're finding, what they're experiencing. You know what they tell me almost every time, bar none? I'm a little bruised. I had too many people hug me today. They welcomed our kids. I felt so safe and secure. You're doing this versus. Let me just encourage us. Let's go even further. Closing words. Questions not to ask about what it means to be a church member, a functioning church member. Here it is. What has my church done for me lately? All right? I'll hear people say this. Well, I missed 4 Sundays. Nobody called. You didn't call, preacher. Sunday school teacher didn't call. Matter of fact, nobody even noticed I was gone. Now, as a preacher, there's quite a quandary because there's something I really would like to say, but I don't. Here's what I'd like to say, because nobody's ever said that to me in this church here, fourthly. Where were you serving so that you were so greatly missed? People knew that you weren't here. Would the church miss you, dear friend, dear church member, if you were not here? I would pray it would. Because we are that vested. Now, do people fall through the cracks? We miss people? Yes, we do. It happens, and I don't want to see it happen, but it happens. But I always remind people, it's a two-way street. It goes both ways. Should I be serving my church? Should I be serving my church? That's a question we ought not ask. Because I can tell you the answer to that one. Yes. Who has served or met my needs lately? Gwen Ann, you saw me when I was a youth minister. I used to tell teenagers all the time. I'd have teenagers who would come in, and we had a little wall, students, and I used to call it, I called it a depression wall. They came in, you know what I'm talking about, the little wall, the little thing. They sit over here, and they'd all just sit there, and this was their attitude. I wonder who's going to come and talk to me today. Almost like daring somebody. And so people mostly obliged. They didn't come talk to them. Because they walked in with the building of the attitude of, what's somebody going to do for me? And I would encourage them and challenge them, because I would have these conversations, maybe with them or their parents. I would say this, let me challenge you, encourage you to walk in the building thinking this instead of that way. Who can I touch? Who can I bless? Who can I minister to? Who needs me to welcome them? Who needs me to put their arm around them, who feels like I feel, and help them feel a part? That's a different mentality, isn't it? Questions to ask. Here it is. What kind of church member am I? Who have I served and helped? Who have I welcomed into our church? Where am I serving? On the back of your handout, I want every week we're going to take pledges. I'm going to ask you unashamedly to be willing to commit to be this kind of a member, that I am a church member. Here's the first one. I'm going to like just to read it out loud. And maybe you'll sign your name at the bottom and hold on to these all this series and remind ourselves from time to time what it means to be a member of Petal First Baptist. And then we'll hit to a time of invitation, all right? Here's what it says. Let's read it together. I like the metaphor of membership. We're going to say it all together out loud. Let's try again. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member, whether I am an eye, an ear, or a hand. As a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Father, I pray by the power and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ for which you died, Lord, you would begin to stir within our hearts and teach us afresh and anew what it means to be a part and to be able to say, I am a church member. And we say that statement because we are a biblical church member. Not what the world says or what we think, but what you say. And I pray, Lord, for a fresh commitment from each of us over this month. We'd be committed to you, obviously, first and foremost. But, Lord, we'd be secondarily committed to this church family. Your hands and your feet and your ears and your eyes to a lost and dying world right here in our own backyard who needs to know that somebody cares. Lord, I pray for those who have yet to trust Christ and yet aren't even a part of the body of Christ. Lord, you would call them to come this morning to say yes to you. To admit they're a sinner, to ask you to forgive them all their sins, to believe you're the Son of God, to confess you as Savior, commit their life to you as Lord, they would do that right here and right now. For some that are praying, and Lord, it'll be a hard day to join because, boy, I just said it like it was. It'll be hard to join a day like David. Lord, maybe you'll use this message to stir the hearts of some of them praying about, should I join or not? Should I be a part? But Lord, now they're even thinking, well, if I join, where do I serve? Maybe there's some that are already members. They've been members a long time. Maybe they've been members 5 years and they're not serving anywhere. And Lord, their prayer this month be, God, show me where I can make a difference. Show me where I can serve. Show me where I can make a difference. Show me where I can help others rejoice and others that are in sorrow, I can help them and encourage them. Somebody a part of life groups. Lord, I pray you'd speak deeply to our lives. Lord, this wouldn't just be information, but it will be transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. For some to come to this altar and pray over a lost friend or neighbor, to pray over their call to be a part of this church. Lord, whatever it is you're calling us to do, we want to lift our hands to you. Lord, we're waiting. And Lord, we're waiting because you've spoken, but now will we respond as we wait for you? Speak to us now, I pray. Right now, may we respond in Jesus' name. Amen.